Well, let us open the Word of God together to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. This is our fourth message in a section of what we're entitling Saluting the Saints, and we will be continuing at the eighth verse of this chapter, Romans chapter 16. Continuing at the verse 8, and we'll just read from verse 8 to the end of verse 11, and they are the verses that we will be looking at this evening. Romans chapter 16, verse 8, "Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord." And so reads God's precious word to us. We won't recap on anything that we've looked at so far. We'll just get straight into these verses. And as I said in the last couple of sessions or messages, that these are not really sermons as so much as just going through these different names and the things that are said about these people and making some points regarding them. The first one we have in verse 8, which is Amplius. "Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord." His name means enlarged. John Gill says the Vulgate Latin reads Ampliatus, and so do the Alexandrian copy and the Ethiopic version. Some call him Amphius and Amphiatus or Amphiatus. Notice here Paul's devotion, secondly, to him. Amplius, my beloved. It's a personal note of devotion. It's not, you know, our beloved or a general note of devotion, not even that he is beloved of God, as it says, obviously, of John at one example. But here we have a personal note of devotion. Haldane says, "This person is another of those distinguished objects of the apostles' love. Paul loved all the brethren, but for some he had a peculiar affection." And there's nothing wrong with that. I think this is the application on this point. There is sometimes Christians can feel a little bit guilty about loving some believers more than others. This is perfectly normal, in fact, and it's not sinful, and we know that because the Lord Jesus Christ loved some of his apostles more than others, the Apostle John, as we've already mentioned. So therefore, there's nothing sinful about having a particular love or a peculiar love for certain individual believers. That is perfectly normal, and it is all part of the providence of God. It would be unnatural if we loved everyone exactly the same. It's very normal, and it's not sinful to have different levels of love for different believers. Thirdly, the general reason, or maybe it's the wrong way to put it, general, but the reason for the devotion, and this would apply to all believers, but in particular for Amplius, it is because he is in the Lord. Amplius, Haldane says, was beloved of Paul in the Lord as a Christian, or one who was a member of the spiritual body of Christ. Amplius then, as he was one of the peculiar objects of Paul's love in Christ, must have been distinguished for his devotedness to Christ. In other words, Paul is not just saying that he's in Christ just in the salvation sense, but there is a particular sense that this one is identified as one who by his life is in Christ. Then we have Urban. "Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. So Urban, now, interestingly, or maybe humorously, his name actually means of the city. And I was joking to myself, you know, that Urban, you know, we use the word urban, but that's what his name actually refers to. So the next time you think of urban and the city in that context, you can think of this individual. That is what his name actually means. There's also a connotation of the idea of politeness in his name, but his name means of the city. Paul's description of him, our helper in Christ. Notice here, even, and we've made this point already, but we have to make it again here, even the great apostle needed helpers in the cause of Christ and the gospel. We are all to be committed to the work of the gospel of Christ, and we are all to do our part. And here Paul describes Urban as our helper in Christ. Again, Haldane says it is worthy of observation that though Paul was an inspired teacher, yet he freely distinguishes the humblest of those who are in any manner engaged in the work of the gospel as his fellow laborers. And that's nice, isn't it? It's nice that Paul had that attitude. Not that I'm the inspired apostle, and we were looking at some of those thoughts with our brother Rowan in the catechism this evening. But Paul, the inspired apostle, expresses not only the reality of helpers in Christ, but by implication, the need for helpers in Christ. We all must be that. We must be co-laborers, as the Greek word means, fellow laborers, helpers in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Stachys, also in verse 9, his name means a head of grain. A head of grain. Paul's description of him is Stachys, my beloved. Stachys is one of those whom Paul honors with an expression of peculiar love for Christ's sake. How unlike is the spirit of this apostle from that of men who, under mistaken notions, regard with coldness, dislike, or jealousy the labors of those who are not called to office in the Church of Christ. And this is a really important application in this whole section, is that Paul shows that he's not aloof, that he's not removed and see himself on some different level, but sees himself as one part of the body of Christ, one part that moves within as one cog moves within many other cogs in a great machine. In our modern generation, we have sort of one-man ministry models, which are wrong. The one-man ministry is a wrong model. We don't believe in that. We said this recently, but we'll say it again. We don't believe in one-man ministry. We believe that every part of the body of Christ must be and should be moving and operating in its function, in its part that it has to play in the body. And Paul, and again, that's one of the main principles as we go through these different names, that we see that. But then we have, in verse 10, Apelles, or Apelles, I'm not sure exactly how you'd say it. Apelles, we'll say, verse 10. His name means called. But then we have his description, the description of the apostle. Apelles approved in Christ. Now, this is lovely. If you put his name and his description together, he is approved because he is called. Because he is called, he is approved or acceptable in Christ. And you have this idea back in chapter 8 of Romans. And you have the doctrine of calling and the doctrine of justification put together. We are justified because we have been called. We've been called into fellowship. It says in Romans 8:28, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then in verse 30 of Romans 8 it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And we have here in this individual Apelles this principle, them that he called, them he also justified. Apelles was acceptable because he was called. And we are acceptable not because we have become good Christians. We are approved or acceptable because God has kletos, called us into the fellowship of the saints. Then we have, moving on, salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. That's quite hard to say. His name means either best counseling or the best counselor. I was listening to the experience of Ahithophel. And Ahithophel's counsel was if, as one had asked of the oracle of God, but the first time Ahithophel's counsel is not heeded, he goes, he saddles his ass, he goes home, he gets his affairs in order, and he goes and hangs himself. An interesting experience. I think there's a real lesson for us in that. And you say, well, I've no danger of doing that. But sometimes as Christians, you know, we're so blessed. But then the first moment that we're not agreed with, we feel inside as if we want to go and, you know, do something. Well, here this one, Aristobulus himself, his name means the best counselor, but he is not the one being honored here. He's not the one being saluted. It's a number in his household, and they knew not just this one whose name means the best counselor, but they in fact had come to know by salvation the one who is the best counselor. Another principle here that's important to note is that God is in the business of household salvation. God does often save a number of people in the same home. So we would agree to some degree with our Presbyterian brethren, but we don't go as far as them in their application of that truth. Yes, God does often save a number of people from the same house, but that is not a guarantee, and therefore we should have no doctrine that supports that idea. In Rowan, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 16, but in chapters 14, 15 and 16, we see this repeated idea of the Lord Jesus Christ promising to send them the Comforter or the Counselor, the Parakletos, the one who would come alongside and be that best Counselor for us. I was encouraged with our brother Joe tonight as he prayed and give thanks to God for God's blessing this week. And that's an encouragement. Because as God counsels us, as God comforts us, as God takes care of us, we should indeed give thanks to God. We have the best counselor. We have the one who comforts. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Say unto Jerusalem, thy warfare is ended. We have the best comforter. We have the best counselor. Why? Because it's not just nice words. It's not just good thoughts. It is grounded on his work. The one who counsels us is the one who has done those things for us. Aristobulus himself was not saluted. We don't know the reason. Was he away? Was he no longer living? Or was he not a Christian himself? We don't know. Haldane says Aristobulus was evidently a personage of great distinction who had many domestics, of whom there were some who had believed the gospel. When the head of the family believed, he was usually saluted and his household with him. When therefore salutations are sent to the home or some of his family or slaves and not to himself, there is no reason to conclude that Aristobulus was a believer. But we just don't know, and therefore we leave it at that. Then we have Herodian mentioned. His name, not surprisingly, means heroic. There were four kings, four Jewish kings, with the name Herod. And this is just another form of that name. But again, we want to apply this principle. For Christians, we are to be heroic. We are not just to be heroes in name. We are to be heroic in our obedience. And throughout the scripture, and especially in Deuteronomy, Joshua, Numbers, the Psalms, we have repeated idea of being strong and courageous in the Lord. And we have one classic example in the book of Joshua. Just turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, a couple of verses in Joshua 1. It's really the first 9 verses, but and it's after the death of Moses, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, saying, Moses, my minister, Moses, my servant is dead, verse 2. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Then down to verse 6, or verse 5, you should say. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And that becomes the foundation for the exhortation, the basis of the command. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. We see it also down in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So it's not like God is saying to us, you know, be strong in your own strength. No, he's saying, I am with you. Therefore, be strong. We cannot be strong in ourselves. We are not strong. We are not heroic. We're not Herodians in our own nature. We are cowards. We're sinners. We fail. We're feeble. And yet, because God has promised us success, but not only promised us success, has promised to be with us, to be our ever-present help, and to be the best counselor and best comforter to us. On that basis, we are to be strong and of a good courage. We also have in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we often, when trouble comes, we think, well, you know, I need to get out of the trouble. Well, the exhortation from the Word of God is to be calm. At the moment, we're not sure where we're going to be physically as a church in the days ahead. But the counsel of the Word of God, the best counsel and the best comfort is to wait on the Lord. It's not for us to try and figure out everything ourselves. It moves on to say, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. The same sort of salutation for this household, like that of the previous. Now, the name Narcissus means stupidity. This is not the Narcissus of Greek mythology, who who fell in love with his own image and died. Was it Narcissus who was secretary to Claudius Caesar? Some say that it was. I think Haldane is a very good answer for this. He says whether this is that Narcissus was who was the distinguished favourite of the Emperor Claudius, the scriptures do not determine. And it therefore can be of no importance to be ascertained. It might minister a question to curiosity and thereby lead away from profitably considering what the scriptures contain in order to discover what they do not contain. Isn't that good, isn't it? This is a vain as well as an unprofitable way of spending time. Gill is an excellent commentator, but Gill often will include all this sort of stuff, and you know he'll put a caveat in it, of course, but Haldane has no time for that. He says, persons who indulge in it may fancy that they are studying and throwing light upon Scripture, but they are only covering God's Word with a heap of rubbish, gratifying an idle curiosity and tending to draw away attention from the truths of eternal importance which the Scriptures reveal. So that's a good practical piece of advice for us. Note, secondly, what was it that made the household of Narcissus important to Paul? Again, it's this phrase, which are in the Lord. It was not their relationship to Narcissus that mattered, but their relationship to Christ. In this chapter, we have seven times this phrase, in the Lord. Verse 2, verse 8, verse 11, verse 12 twice, verse 13 once, and also verse 22. It's these people's relationship in the Lord that matters. But also in Romans, we have that phrase, in Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Back in chapter 3, verse 24, it's the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In chapter 8, verse 1, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 39, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ. Chapter 12, verse 5, one body in Christ. This chapter now, chapter 16, verse 3, my helpers in Christ Jesus, and so on. There's three or four other references in this chapter to in Christ. One last quote from Haldane, and then we will finish. This shows us, this idea of being in Christ or in the Lord, this shows us what sort of persons were recognized in the first churches. They were such only as were believed to be in the Lord. In other words, what we would call today a regenerate membership. So important to the apostle. They are in the Lord. That is, members of the spiritual body of Christ. It shows also that persons who were at the time appeared to be Christians were considered as such without any distrust with respect to the reality of their faith, though with respect to some, the fact might afterwards manifest the contrary. And that's also an important point. We first of all take the confession of faith on face value. Time might prove otherwise. We're not to start completely doubting people. We are to accept on good merits, on the merits of the profession of faith, that it's genuine until the fruit proves otherwise. Man judges by evidence and is warranted to proceed with confidence upon that evidence, though the searcher of hearts may see the profession to be without the true knowledge of God or change of heart. And he goes on and says more, but we'll finish there. Well, may God bless these few thoughts to our souls, and may we know for sure that we are in the Lord, that we are in Christ, even this night. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of even just looking through some of these names. Lord, that it would encourage our souls, to know that even each individual saint is considered worthy to be mentioned in the Word of God. And therefore, those of us who live even now are considered by the Lord to be worthy, not because of who we are, but because we are in Christ, because we are in the Lord. We give thee thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We'll let us sing together from Psalm 118. We'll sing the second half of that psalm from verse 15 to the end of the psalm. In dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody of joy and health. The Lord's right hand doth ever valiantly. Let's stand to sing Psalm 118 from verse 15 to the end. In dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody of joy and health. The Lord's right hand doth ever valiantly. The The Lord hath me chastised sore, but not to death him over. O set ye open unto me the gates of righteousness, then will I enter. This is the gate of God, by it the just shall enter in. Thee will I praise, for thou me heardst and hast my safety been. That stone is made head cornerstone, which builders did despise. This is the doing of the Lord, and wondrous in our eyes. This is the day God made, in it we'll joy triumphantly. Save now, I pray thee, Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he in God's great name that cometh us to save. We from the house which to the you blessed have. God is the Lord who unto us hath made light to our Christ. Bind ye unto the altar's horns with cords sacrifice. Now my God, I'll be exalted. My God, I will thee praise. Give thanks to God, for he is good, his mercy lasts always. thank you for your grace and mercy, kindness, love to our souls. Lord, what blessings are for us in the gospel. We don't even understand the beginnings. Lord, we pray that you would just bring us deeper and deeper into a greater understanding of thy truth, of thy mercies to us in Christ, that we are in the Lord, that we are in Christ. What blessed privilege. What a salvation. And Lord, it does not matter what we think of ourselves or what others think of us. What matters is what the Lord thinks. And may it be so that we will rejoice in the knowledge of God, which is eternal life. So Father, bless us. We give thee thanks for the refreshments that we shall receive and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the blessed fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.